if I didn't have a name for this episode already, the random clap would be it. But instead, this is the one where we choose. Hi, Michael.
How are you doing, friend?
I am doing all right. Hi, JJ.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You're the random clapper over there. This is episode 450 of We Were Gamers, the 20th episode of season 2. Because that
sure, let's go with that.
It's a marked difference in, everything we're doing. Yeah,
we picked a start time.
For season 2, I did. Yeah, I don't know why. I just did it one day. I was like, you know what? This is season 2 now.
Solid.
Yeah. Speaking of big changes, is baseball going to have a marked shift in its top tier in the National League thanks to the Angels getting you 3 games closer to first place there, JJ?
3 games closer or exactly the same distance away because we also were swept at the same time.
Oh, JJ. that's not it, Padres.
And then we lost today also. So, you know,
that's not it, Padres.
Headed the wrong direction there.
That's the opposite of what you do when the team in first place is getting swept.
Yeah. You know, I guess the Angels beat us and they then got mad because they lost to us and turned around and took it out on the Dodgers.
Maybe it could be. I mean, you guys beat them up a little bit. That's for sure. They did take one win there.
Yeah.
Is it recently that was it in that series where you guys got swept where Tati got thrown out?
Yes, I believe that's the case.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, that's the first time he's ever been thrown out.
I mean, really?
I know.
It can't be hard.
Let me look that up.
I understand that emotions run high in sports games because you're in the moment and you're frustrations and highs and lows and all that sort of stuff. But as a professional person, is it really hard not to get kicked out of games? Is that where our barometer is nowadays? It's like, oh, he's a superstar. He must have been thrown out of a game at some point.
I think it depends on the player. Some players are a lot more even-keeled than others.
You're marking Tati as a I'm surprised he didn't get thrown out level player?
You know, the thing is, I don't see him often argue the balls and strikes, which is usually the thing that gets you thrown out, right? As a player?
Yeah, it can, for sure.
And, like, he'll definitely, like, say stuff. Like, he'll walk away from the ump and be, like, shaking his head and, like, no, no. But he's not, like, turning back to the ump and being, like, no, it wasn't, or whatever. Right? He's like, he's just like, no, no, as he leaves. And he's just like, you can just see he's upset, but he's not like mouthing at the ump. So I don't know what happened on that one that he decided to, to not, but.
Well, I guess he really is El Nino then, huh? He was either being a baby or he was bringing the storm. I don't know.
The team feels like it could use a little more storm at the moment. So, you know.
Maybe what they need is a little Charlie Hustle. That's what they need.
That's a reference to something. I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's Pete Rose's nickname.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so we went from one nickname to another nickname. You see? Yeah, that was a transition to talk about Pete Rose being eligible for the Hall of Fame.
And also, like, a bunch of other, like, formerly banned and now dead people?
Yeah.
Shoeless Joe?
Yeah, Shoeless Joe was the other big name on the list, but I guess there were, like, 15 other people besides those two. So it wasn't, you know, they made the headlines, right? Because it's Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe, and they're the ones that everyone knows. But I guess Major League Baseball came out with an announcement that lifetime bans from the Hall of Fame end when your lifetime does.
That's one way to interpret lifetime. So you just don't get in. You can't get in while you're alive.
Pretty much.
that is the now interpreted meaning. However, remind me if I am wrong. How do you get into the Hall of Fame? Does it not require a bunch of people to vote you in?
It does. So even though you are eligible, you still have to be voted in.
So do you think any of this has changed the chances that any of these mostly old white men are going to vote those guys in?
I mean, I think it went from absolute zero to maybe a hair above absolute zero.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Right, a snowball's chance is more than no chance, but...
I'd say Shoeless Joe might even have more of a chance than Pete Rose.
Just due to distance?
Due to distance and the marked ambiguity around his case compared to Pete Rose's case.
Yeah, I mean, Pete admitted to it, right? Also, Pete Rose isn't a really awesome dude. I think.
He admitted
relationship with a minor and such.
Yeah. He did have some problems there. I don't know that I care if either of them ever get in. It's not a thing that's been on my radar at all. It's not like most of the people banned were... I mean, Shoeless Joe, obviously, statistically, maybe one of the best players of all time.
Certainly in his era, it's undeniable, right?
Yeah, maybe even outside of his era, games played and all that. Certainly there are people in the Hall of Fame that have worse stats than the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or don't hold, a record still.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I really think the thing that bothers me about it is, who cares whether they get into the Hall of Fame or not? I'm kind of with you on that, Andy. Mm-hmm. But, it felt like the rule was you weren't allowed to talk about these people, and it was, illegal knowledge to know that they existed and did things.
Oh, okay.
And now it's can we just say that, the guy who has the most hits or whatever... the most bases is Pete Rose, and just be like, oh yeah, also he was a horrible human and had this whole cheating thing. It's people already put the asterisk next to Barry Bonds. You want to,
yeah.
You just asterisk yeah, it all
another,
up. Like
another asterisk. Yeah.
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 That little double cross symbol, right? That's got to be used for something.
Yeah. Dagger.
Were all the unbanned people, were they all banned for the same thing? Cause I didn't look into each one. Do you know?
I do not off the top of my head.
Because I wonder if there's a little bit of a political game being played with the now how ubiquitous sports betting has become and how much they may worry later on that lots of players are actually sports betting and they just don't know about it anymore because it's happening in apps.
Oh, yeah. 400% there's worry there, and they're correct to be worrying.
Otani escaped by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, so I know that a bunch of the people who were unbanned were Shoeless Joe contemporaries. It was all the other people who were part of the Black Sox scandal, right?
Oh, that's eight right there. So,
yeah, so that's eight, and Pete Wren Rose makes nine, so I'm not sure who the other...
I'm going down a list right now. There's a guy banned indefinitely for accepting a loan on a gambling scheme.
So gambling.
Another yep. one, following indictment for charges of auto theft.
Definitely not gambling.
That is not gambling.
Apparently the man was acquitted, but never reinstated.
That's... Okay, well, that seems like he should have been at the top of the list of unbans.
Betting.
It's going to be betting. It's going to all be betting.
Betting.
Bribery, this is a shell game.
Betting. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So it's the vast betting majority and betting. One auto theft.
Betting and auto theft that wasn't actually committed.
Yeah, the guy didn't do it.
Kudos to you, Benny Koff.
Wow. That is anyone even talking about that in any of these articles? That it's all just unbanning people for betting?
It was in the 20s, and no one alive knows his name.
Oh, no, no, no. Andrew is correct, though. The sports media landscape or whatever, such as it
is, everyone's just going to ignore.
He's totally talking about that it's all because of betting. Like, people know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I don't follow much sports news landscape, right? Like, I have enough exposure to the news to have heard about, you know, Pete Rose is unbanned along with Shoeless Joe, and it's like, okay, is this about sports betting? Is this...
I have, like, a couple of baseball beat reportery type people that I follow, and, like, a couple of general sports media people that I follow. All of them had discussion about it, so it must be being said.
Yeah. Pretty transparent, I guess, if I'm coming up with it on the spot, and somewhat transparent what they're probably about in that office there. Unfortunate, and don't reinstate any of them, except for maybe, you know what, the car guy should get in as a guy banned from the Hall of Fame for nothing.
Just put up a plaque of him saying he was banned for nothing. It wasn't actually a very good baseball player, though.
Well, so that's the thing, right, is that they're all unbanned, but were any of them noteworthy enough to make a ballot?
I mean, you're talking about the top two there that made the news are the ones that people will wonder about for years. Is it like the NFL where once they don't make like the first two or three, then they're just not eligible anymore?
There is a time limit. I don't know how long it is. It is relatively long.
Yeah, the baseball one is long.
And then there is a secondary access thing. And I remember reading an article about this once. Like, if they don't get voted in, there's like a committee of players, like former players and managers or something, that can like nominate like a historical person.
If this guy should have got in, but the media didn't like him.
He wasn't liked by the media or whatever, right? Because the media are the people that are voting.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's 10 years once you go on the ballot, unless you drop under 5% of the vote, and then you're removed from the ballot. Permanently.
So you get 10 years. Some champion out there better put Pete Rose on the ballot this first year so he can be done with this in 10 years.
He could be done with it in 1 year if he doesn't get 5% of the vote.
Right.
Yes. That would end this will he thing.
I think the much funnier idea would be to create a, like, baseball not good enough for the Hall of Fame, like, interactive exhibit right outside the door to the Hall of Fame, and put them there. They're not in the hall. They're at the hall. They're in front of the hall, but not in.
Just cheap cardboard cutouts, though.
Or like an iPad that you can scroll through with people's names.
These guys were famous once.
Exactly.
Yeah. That'd be pretty funny. JJ. Mm-hmm. As we disembark from the mediocre baseball player list, maybe we talk about a mediocre literature list. Should that exist? I think Michael should first lead us in with the story from the Chicago Sun-Times with the mediocre, not even existing literature list.
Oh yeah, JJ, did you hear about this?
I'm already bet I know 80% of what it's going to say.
You can guess. So the Chicago Sun-Times published a summer reading list for 2025, right? It's that time of year. Memorial Day is just a few days away. People are gearing up for some beach time, and what goes better with lying on the beach than, a good beach read.
That seems normal so far.
Except the books that were on, the majority of the books that were on this reading list were AI generated and didn't really exist.
Like, the book was AI generated, or the book doesn't exist, period, and it was just hallucinated by the AI?
So the book doesn't exist at all, and it did cite real authors, but for the real authors that it had on the list, it made up fake books.
Guys, AI is so good. Why would you need people for anything? Just use AI and just makes up crap that people will think is real.
Clearly, the problem was with the prompt giver, right? The AI worked perfectly.
Yeah. Clearly, that's the issue. Not using AI as the Chicago Sun-Times instead of hiring someone to write an article. Like the thousands of book reviewers that are available online.
Don't even hire anyone. Just go to a website that publishes book reviews like Goodreads and take a bunch and just publish them together as a collation. Like, you don't have to do any work.
Yeah.
I think they would have been less embarrassed by this if someone had been like, they went to Goodreads and picked the top 25 books. Everybody would have been like, well, that's editors for you, and moved on with their lives instead of like, cool, so like, do we need to start talking about how we can't even trust newspapers anymore because they're probably just AI generated content trash?
I mean, mm-hmm. You should already not have been trusting newspapers because they're all right-leaning, horrible, informed places. So, you know. The objectivity in news never really existed, right? I think that's the thing I've learned getting older, right?
I think objectivity is not necessarily the goal, to be honest. Information gathering and accuracy, however, used to exist. Like, Watergate, right? Like, was it unbiased reporting? I don't know. Nobody even cares today if the Watergate reporting was unbiased. It was, however, extremely well researched.
Sure. But, like, frequently happens in newspapers today, you'll see a story published with the police's side of an incident and nothing from the victim. Or the reverse, where you see one government's reason and statement about what happened and no information about from the other side of an atrocity or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really truth at that point, right? You're not really gathering.
So again, that would, I think, fall under my category here of well-researched and, if you provide one option, maybe not well-researched. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't think it's been a forever problem of them being
gotten steadily worse over time. And you're absolutely right that it's, coming ahead here as you get to a place where people are using AI to write a book list. Like, what?
Yeah, because I was looking at the Chicago Sun-Times to figure out what books also,
Yeah, like, who's reading that anyway, right? But, like, the real question, like, this is the easiest article to write as a person. You just ask every person to submit one book, and the editor collates all of them, and you're done.
Yep.
Yeah.
10-word blurb, 2-sentence blurb from each person. Done.
So what book would you have submitted, JJ?
Would I have submitted this book? This book,
or would
probably
you not have submitted it?
People would probably read this in like a book club kind of situation. I don't know that it's a summer read.
Oh,
though.
Okay.
So like, I don't know that it's proper for the list. I talked about this past winter. We went to New York see my sister who lives over there, and part of while we were out there, we went and took a tour of the Morgan Library.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever heard of that place?
Yes, I have.
It's a really cool library to go visit. It has like tons of rare books, including like Gutenberg Bibles and a bunch of like really old like manuscripts and stuff. And then a whole wing dedicated to like the evolution of writing and stuff. It's a very interesting place. Really fascinating tour. It's open to the public, and in theory, if you're like a researcher or academic, you can get access to these like old books for scholarly means, right?
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I should go to this place.
Yeah, it was J.P. Morgan's private library, right?
Correct.
Before it got made into a museum.
Mm, yes, correct.
So generous.
dropping the bucket off that.
Don't know.
Tax donation.
But as a result of going there, I got interested in a book that the tour guide kept referencing, because I guess the book was relatively popular at the time and had just come out, called The Personal Librarian.
Okay.
To be clear, I should credit my wife. She got interested in the book and then read it and said that it was pretty good and that handed it to me. So this is about the person who obtained most of these manuscripts for J.P. Morgan back at that time. And it was a woman, and that was a big deal at the time. And then later it turned out that she was actually an African-American woman passing as white.
Oh.
And so this was her story about growing up in the society at that time, how she got the job, how she then, you know, dealt with passing in society and, you know, keeping her identity a secret and being able to, you know, go do all these things and, you know, procure all these manuscripts and stuff for him. And then, you know, her personal life and what happens and yada, yada. And then what happened after he died and, you know, before transitioning the library to a public institution, which was apparently something he wanted, but not like explicitly laid out in his will. So she kind of had to fight the son, one of the sons. Anyway, it's in the book. It was okay. It was a really interesting story, and I enjoyed intellectually reading it. I just don't think I had a good time.
Okay.
I feel about that way about books sometimes. I read Endeavor, The Ship That Changed the World by Peter Moore a little while ago, which is a book about Endeavor, right? And it's ostensibly about James Cook, actually, but it's more about, like, the ship. And while I was fascinated at certain points in this book, it was like, other times we were talking about how oak grows and where timber comes from. And like, I don't know. It's just sometimes those types of things, you just get mired in what a historian needs to tell you. You know, right. Some of these books are more historic. They want to be historically accurate, right? They're talking about someone's life, like a librarian's life who faced a lot of challenges. You want to give them credit. You want to give everybody credit that encountered the Endeavor and be, you know, cognizant of native populations and all that sort of stuff. It just, you know, the book then, you know, spins off into other areas that maybe are good history, but not good reading.
Well, and this is also like, to be clear, this book is a fictionalized account. It's not, you know, it's not a true biography or whatever of this person.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it does tell a story. The story is fictional, but then it is historical fiction in that it's about a real person and real people all take place in it, but like the events are not necessarily in this order or whatever. And then I found it very interesting when I got to the end and I was like reading through the author's notes at the end, the multiple authors.
Authorize.
Yeah. Anyway, the notes at the end from the various people, you know, saying like, well, okay, like here's the stuff we had to change. Here's a thing we invented. And like, here's a thing that was, you know, yes, this happened, but it happened after this. And that doesn't make a story very good. And like stuff like that.
Her life was too boring.
Well, no, like it did a very interesting life, but you know, it's like, actually, you know, she didn't go to Europe for like 9 months here. She just went for like a weekend and then, or, you know, a week and came back and, you know, it's like not as interesting this way, but it made sense since she did go to Europe many times. We just sort of condensed it and like all this kind of stuff. So
France, did she go to France?
She went to many places, went to France. I don't know.
You would think so.
Well, I think the next thing we need to talk about starts with France.
Does it?
It does. Tell. The first time I've ever had to check the settings in my Steam account, gentlemen. That game that you both were chatting about, Claire Obscura?
Yeah.
It's a French game.
Expedition 33.
It's a French game, and it set off some sort of content warning setting inside my Steam account.
What?
That's weird that that's the first one that would do it.
Yeah, sure enough. What are they doing over there in France, and why do you want to play this game?
What do you mean, content warning?
It was like, hey...
Is it this thing that made you put in your birthday?
No, not even that. It was like, we know you put in your birthday, but you know you may not want to see what this game has in it. People say it has this, 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 and this. Like, you know, adult content and this and that and the other.
Oh, so more like a trigger warning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can definitely set settings in Steam that's like, I don't want to see anything with these tags. And yeah, it's possible that it has been tagged with some of those things. And so then Steam was like, hey, man, are you really sure you want to look at this?
Yeah. What is this game?
I do know, but I haven't played it, so I don't know that I can speak from experience.
Okay.
But it is a JRPG type game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, someone said FRPG.
Frp. Frog. Uh-oh. We're canceled.
Yeah, there's a P in there, right? So
For Prague.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a turn-based RPG game made in France with very French sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I saw that people were really excited about is that the combat system is pretty unique. Each character sort of has their own little thing. I guess I don't have a good way to explain it. Sort of like in Sea of Stars, Michael, or some of those games where like each of your party members has like their own sort of little combat mini game or like little sequence of skills or something you sort of need to do to maximize the use out of them.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
So, this game, each character has stuff like that. And then the, attacking and like, you know, blocking and systems are like reaction based. So there's like a dodge and a parry button, like it was, you know, some kind of a Souls game or something.
Hmm.
And the enemies have like, you know, big swords that they wind up slowly and then swing at you. And then you can block or dodge or parry them, to get various effects.
I like the sound of it. Sounds fun.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
Apparently it's like very customizable. There's tons of like equipment and stuff you can do that give you little bonuses here and there and do all kinds of interesting stuff. And yeah, Michael is right. The like look of the game is very stylish.
How does it compare to whatever you're playing right now, JJ, as the resident accomplished game player this week?
I rolled credits on Trails Through Daybreak, so that's cool.
Hey,
yeah. High five to me. Daybreak 2.
Just in time for another one.
Yeah, not yet. Although I think Trails First is supposed to be coming this year, Michael.
Yeah. Yes, it is. That's in RPG timeline. That's just in time.
Andy, this is the time for you to jump on the bandwagon. This is the first game.
Is it actually the first game?
They are remaking the first game.
What is the actual title of it?
I think it's Trails in the Sky First. Like number okay, one that's, ST.
Oh, there's another word there. Come on. It's a Trails first in chapter, the Sky I First think. Chapter.
No, that's the one that already exists.
Oh. Wait, what? No, it says coming soon.
Is it calling it First Chapter?
It is. And the more words, the better.
Because I think FC was the original. They didn't actually spell it out.
Ah, I see. Well, this one uses a number in the logo.
Who wouldn't be confused by the first one being First Chapter and the second one being FC?
No, the second one is SC, Andrew.
SC. No, that's the third one.
No, that's the second one.
Oh, that's the remake of the second one or the second one?
Well, there is no remake of the second one yet.
Right, because we're talking about the first. We're talking about the FC, not the First Chapter. Oh, no, wait, we're talking about the First Chapter, not the FC.
Michael, this is one of the ones you've played, right? You played the whole First Sky series. I'm just ignoring Andrew now.
Trails in the Sky, 1, 2, and 3. Phenomenal games.
So you got to imagine if they're making this, they must already be planning to make the next one. Otherwise, it is the most brutal cliffhanger of all time.
I don't know how you don't.
Even if this doesn't sell, I think they have to make the other one. Like... That's
so they just dropped
they
the Legend
that.
Of Heroes, huh? They're just like, nah, no more. Legend of Heroes, baloney.
I mean, the other games still have it, so I don't know.
Well, just saying, like, the first one is Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
this one's just Trails in the Sky 1. One chapter.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's they just, did drop the...
It's interesting that they're going to drop that and then hope people know, you know, that later, if they continue going on after this first one, that the series is are connected.
I imagine if you're searching for those games, you don't search for Legend of Heroes anyway, right? You're searching for Trails, and so that's...
That's true. That might be actually their...
It might, if anything, I think it might streamline people being able to find it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I am ready for that whenever it does drop, but that's not the game I started. I felt like I was, you know, in a weird time here because I'm going to be going on a trip in a bit, and so then I don't want to really start anything big like Expedition 33, which is something I am interested in playing. So I wanted to start something that was like kind of low stakes and, but also like interesting. And I was thinking we, for other reasons, we're thinking about games that we all haven't played and stuff that was like, we should check out. I recall the conversation that you had with me, Andy, a long time ago about John Dark. From the PSP, and I was like, that game, I remember Andy said it was really good, and the
game's
like
not short, dude.
Final Fantasy Tactics style, like, you know, and so I felt like I needed to check it out, and so I checked it out this week.
PSP game, for people that don't know.
Yeah.
JJ over there's got a Vita, so. John Dark.
Yeah, I do have a PSP, but I think I'm afraid to turn it on.
I don't want to know what happens. I have my Jeanne d'Arc copy still. I don't even know if I still have a PSP. But I still have it just because I loved that game so ridiculously much. It's a tactics RPG, man. It's going to take you some time.
Eh, you know, I'm going to have time on this trip, right? So
that's true. It does. Sure. It is mobile. It is a well-designed mobile game. In the original sense of mobile.
I was really struck by how much like animation and stuff is in it. Like, it maybe is not the case all the way through, but like up front,
you're watching
some anime here, dude.
Yeah, no, it's all the way through, my guy. It really is that impressive.
So, yeah, pretty excited. I mean, I've only played like 3 or 4 battles total, so I'm like really early.
But, I mean, you've already got the concept of the game. For something from 2007 to have that much anime in it.
Yeah, this is like, this is a cool game, dude. Why don't people talk about this game?
I don't know, man. It's like level 5 made it. It should be a game people talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
Wild. Put this game on the PC. What are you guys doing?
I don't know if it's licensing or what, but like...
Probably.
Who's the director of this game? I just know it's level 5 off the top of my head, but...
Yeah, the logo at the front confirms that.
Director Akihiro Hino, known for Prince of Persia.
That's why.
Dragon Quest VIII, Jeanne d'Arc, Professor Layton in the Curious Village, Professor Layton in the Diabolical Box, Dragon Quest IX.
This guy has made a bunch of bangers, is what you just said.
Yeah, he's hitting home runs left and right.
There's a bunch of Professor Layton's on here. Also, by the way, there's this little game called Ni No Kuni 2, Ni No Kuni 1.
Yeah, those games are bangers.
Yeah, so, you know, want to see the guys, like, first or second game, like, directing game? Pretty good.
Dragon Quest 8 was before this, though, right?
Dragon Quest 8 is his first-ish directing major title.
Okay. But yeah.
Looks like his first game, major title.
That game has a decent amount of anime in it, too, though, right? I mean, it's all Akira Toriyama art, but, like, I think there's some anime cutscenes in that, too.
I don't recall, but I wouldn't be surprised. PS2. But that's also a PS2 game with a lot of space on the disc.
Yeah, way different than a PSP game, right?
Yeah, PSP game, you know, not very big.
So anyway, I'm checking that out, and I'm enjoying it, man. It's cool. It's very, like, what if Sailor Moon, but French Revolutionary War?
What if are you playing it hardcore or
I didn't see an option for that, so maybe I didn't. I hit normal, so.
Okay, normal, yeah. Good. I think the game gets quite a bit harder.
Higher difficulties, do your characters die permanently? Is it one of those?
Yeah, it's one of those. And, and you haven't gotten to transformations probably yet.
The main character can transform, but no one else.
Yeah. And and the Hundred Years' War is long, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah, it's a good game, man. And the Rock, Paper, Scissors is good, too. Of, like...
Yeah, you know, this beats
weapons
the
and that
sword
beats that.
Beats the mm-hmm. axe beats the spear beats the sword or something like that.
The triangle.
I'm not exactly right, but it's something
like I will that. Say that Unified Guard is better than you think it is.
Hmm, okay.
Because it also, if you're in position for Unified Guard... and you stay in that position, counterattacks also get hit with Unified Guard, so you can kind of like double defend your dudes.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah.
I have noticed the counterattacks are quite strong in this game.
Yeah.
So.
Little bit, yeah. I got to some of the later fights and it was like, focus fire people because you don't want them hitting back.
So, it was just a cool little idea, and I felt like, I'm going on a thing soon, and it'd be good to have a mobile game-ish, mobile-ish.
That game is, it was wonderful. I'm pretty sure it was nominated for, like, a lot of awards at the time. I don't think it was, like, super ignored, but I think it's one of those games that will just sort of fall eventually by the wayside, for things that are more famous, right? That doesn't have a Final Fantasy title. And it was on the PSP.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do about that.
I think the inaccessibility of it is the problem there, right? Like,
oh, yeah. If it got released again, I'm sure it would get some love.
Because Final Fantasy Tactics like was a huge thing, but that was a PS1 game, right? And then they re-released mm-hmm. it on PSP, which is the better version. But
War of the Lions.
You know, but it's still a PS1 game, right? Like...
This game is improved. I think I want to know your notes about it versus Tactics, because this game took a lot of Tactics ideas and was like, what if it was better?
Yeah, the combat has like a lot of Tactics feeling in it so far. So
height matters.
Keep going. Yep, height.
Oh, yep.
Shoot down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's time, before we run out of time, to get to the one where we choose. And I hope... that I've picked well, considering you've picked such a long game there, JJ. I have a theme to mine. Are we all ready?
Not too worried.
To remind? All right. As a reminder, last week I said I was kind of feeling a little bit in a rut. I still feel a little bit in a rut, especially with Magic kind of slowing down for me. Like, Tarkir needs to go away and Final Fantasy needs to come out already.
Okay.
No, it's just... Anyway, it was a minor joke. So we said, look at some Steam libraries and suggest to people some games and see what we think, right? Kind of?
Yeah.
I'll go first since it was my idea.
How do we want to?
I don't know. You nominated yourself to be first, so I think you have to
decide. I have a theme, so I'm gonna give out my suggestions together.
Cool, let's do it.
Here's the theme. All right. So, JJ, you have the same... issue that I do, which is your Steam account says you've played almost every game you own.
Yeah.
which is not accurate.
Got to get those cards, dude.
Yeah, it's the card thing that has happened. So I could tell which ones you had played and hadn't played based on time played.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's usually quite clear. It's like, have I
spent... It's like 42 minutes
hours?
Exactly?
Yeah, probably not that one. Have I spent... 40 hours? Yeah, probably did play that one.
but with your trip coming up, and in retrospect of my mistake when we tried to play Final Fantasy XII together, I picked for you a game called Jotun out of your account.
J-O-T-U-N, I believe.
J-O-T-U-N. You're going to have to look it up. I don't know if you can even find it.
I probably can.
Looks like an action-adventure game. Kind of older-looking action-adventure game. Got some decent reviews at the time it came out. That's as much as I can tell about it, other than that you haven't played it.
Interesting animation here.
And that the time to beat is 5 hours.
All right.
I want to say I picked this up from one of the Epic re-giveaways. I feel like I have it over there and not on Steam, because I recognize this for sure.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through the art and stuff on the Steam page. It looks pretty. It says mostly positive out of 2,100 reviews. Like,
yeah, right. It's all hand-drawn.
Yeah.
Cool.
I do like that.
Let us know what Jotunheim is like when you go there.
Yeah. I will do.
All right, so Michael, I think there's a game in your library that I want to discuss with someone other than me, because I feel bad for not liking it.
Okay.
It also will take you 5 hours to beat.
All right.
Or you can do what I did and quit early.
Wow. Not even making it 5 hours. Okay.
Brutal.
Sonic Mania.
Oh, okay.
In your Steam account says it has no time played.
That is accurate. It has no time played.
I was told by the entire internet and vintage game-loving community that Sonic Mania is the epitome of Sonic. They brought back the originals. It's exactly like the Sega game should play. It's exactly like the Sonic game should play. And everyone that loves video games should love Sonic Mania. And I played like the first four levels, and I thought to myself, did I ever like Sonic? I don't think so. And then I stopped.
Well, so this will be an interesting conversation as a not Sega Genesis haver.
I think, Andy, you may have misheard some of the stuff people were saying there.
All right.
But it was highly praised at the time. I have not played it either. I will be curious to listen to the discussion.
All right. I've doled out my suggestions. The theme was 5 hours or less.
It's a good theme.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I went a step further than you, Andy. I scrolled all the way to the bottom. Things with 0 minutes.
Oh. Uh-huh.
0 minutes showing as playtime. So, JJ, I'll give you yours.
Sure.
So Michael, you probably have never run that card generator thing then.
I have not, although we have talked about it. It's been a long time. I think we talked about it on here once.
Yeah, so that's how I knew JJ had it, is because he taught me how to use the thing.
I see.
Got to get those free cards to get your free Steam coin money that you can sell cards for 2 cents each and then use it to get like $2 off a game.
But I know, and JJ knows, that we don't run it as often as we probably should for our 2 cent discount during sales. So I'm sure we have games that have no time played.
Has to be.
Yes, indeed you do. And so I picked one for JJ that I know for a fact is sitting in my Epic library. And whenever I idly scroll through that, I always see it, and the visuals always strike me. And I think, that might be a fun one to try, and then never actually launch it. So, JJ, I'm picking it for you. It's called Hue.
How do you spell this?
H-U-E.
Hmm. Okay.
And it is a puzzle adventure game, and you alter the world around you by changing the colors of the backgrounds, of the varying backgrounds. And I think that I want to say, from what I remember, you start out the game with only like a couple of colors, and then you add more as the game goes on. Oh, and so instead of like an item wheel, you have a color palette wheel.
This looks cool, man.
Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots. This is very striking.
Yes. Yeah, so it catches my eye every time I see it in my library because for that very reason.
All right.
Yeah. Cool.
So, all puzzle platformer, kind of a different sort of mechanic than some of your standards. So,
all right,
hopefully it's a good one, because I've
he's like, I've
been curious
review.
To play it myself.
Yeah, 2016, very positive, 93% out of 1500 views all time. So yeah, it looks good.
Yeah,
cool.
But yeah, so if you watch the little video that's on the Steam page, you'll see stuff like there are bricks in your way, but the bricks are a certain color, and if you change the background to that color, the bricks disappear because they've blended into the background. So now your path is clear.
Love it.
Yeah, seems cool.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm watching the video right now. That's cool.
Yeah, so like it looks this. A lot of fun.
There's like changing the color of the palette to move the gates and that kind of thing. Very Braid-esque.
Yeah, yeah. So Andy, I was torn.
Uh-oh.
And I'm pretty sure I know which one I'm going to pick, but I'll give you a choice. Do you want to read? Do you want to read a lot, or do you want to not have to read at all?
Oh shoot! Oh no! at all.
All right, that's kind of what I was leaning towards. So I'm glad you went that way. For okay. you, I'm picking Animal Well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah. That was okay. I'm glad you picked that.
In case you were curious, and JJ will laugh when I say this, the other option was Disco Elysium.
It's very funny that you thought that, Michael, because I considered both of those games for him and decided that Disco Elysium would be too much reading and there'd be no way he would actually get through
nice.
It. And Animal Well would be like, well, I don't want to say anything now because he's going to play it. So I think you should.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to hear what you think about
that. I have a very important question that I will repeat on JJ's turn. And I think one of you can guess what it is.
Okay.
Can I play this on my Steam Deck, or are the controls too fiddly?
I have only played it on my Steam Deck.
Install.
It's actually a very good, but I will say, and I talked about it a little bit when I talked about the game, my only complaint about the Steam Deck is that they need to let you zoom in further on the map.
I remember that you discussed that, and I totally forgot. My main gripe with the Steam Deck is that sometimes the stick doesn't feel like my... JJ, you know what the snappiness is in the Xbox Pro controller, because you have one.
Mm-hmm.
The Steam Deck controller is not snappy. It's well-tuned, but it's not snappy. And so sometimes I feel like I couldn't play... what's that one? Celeste. I couldn't play Celeste on the Steam Deck. I felt like I didn't have tight enough control.
You do not need that level of precision for Animal Well. It is more forgiving, to the point that you're going to be able to play it without killing your thumbs on the Steam Deck.
Wonderful.
Celeste really does need precision, and you need a real good D-pad for that game, to be honest.
Yeah.
All right. I have suggestions for both of you, and they come with a choice similar to what Michael was giving. I picked two directions for each of you, and I don't know which way to lean.
Okay.
So what are the games that you guys have already? I want to see if I can do some balancing here.
Okay, Michael, so I've got Sonic Mania.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I have Animal Well.
You have Animal Well. Okay. So I think, Andy, for you, I think Animal Well is going to handle the action and the adventure from that direction. So I think what you need is some strategy in your life. And therefore, I am assigning you... I don't know, not assigning. That's not the right word.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it.
I would like you to play Tactical Breach Wizards.
Yes!
A recent addition to my library.
Relatively, I feel, funny game about Tier 1 Operator Wizards.
Yes. I remember you discussing this game, and it ended up in my library over the Christmas time.
Yeah. That's for you.
This looks Michael, Steam Deckable also. Yes.
It absolutely should be. Yeah. It's turn-based, so you should be all good there.
Excellent.
Michael, your pick from Andy was,
Sonic Mania.
Sonic Mania. So I have two options here for you. I want to go the other direction. I don't know how Steam Deckable this game is. So okay. I'm going to give you this and you can have the other one as a backup because I know the other one definitely works.
Okay.
But I noticed that on your Steam profile, you own a copy of Final Fantasy VIII with 0 hours played.
Dude.
This is true.
I was so close to making him play that game. And I picked my theme before I picked the games. And I was like, I can't back down and make him play Final Fantasy VIII.
And of course, you don't have to finish it. It's the long game, you know, get through as much as you enjoy. But I don't know how well it will work on the Steam Deck. So give it a shot. You know, if it doesn't work well, you know, see if we can troubleshoot it or whatever. But if not, the other game that I pick you is a little more action-oriented. So all my stuff was like a choice between action or not action, I guess.
Okay.
different kinds of action. And the other option is Batman Arkham Asylum.
Ooh.
That will run on the Steam Deck, I'm very confident.
Yes. Yes, it will. I've seen that one on the Steam list. Ooh, that's tough. I might lean Arkham Asylum only because I did play through FF8 originally way back when.
Okay, so this is also a good reason to have two options because I was not sure if you had played it in the past.
Right, so I played the original all the way through.
Yeah. So, you know, give it a shot. I'm very curious to hear your opinion. If you've never played Arkham Asylum, man, I wish I could go back and be you.
That's kind of why I'm leaning that way because I have not actually played it.
I say go for it, man.
You play through that game?
Me?
Yeah.
No, it's still on my to-do list.
Wait, you've never played Arkham Asylum either?
Uh-uh.
Oh my god. What are you guys doing?
It's too late. Tactical Breach Wizards.
I know.
Too late.
Gosh darn it. I messed up. Well, I'm very curious to hear Michael's take on it when he gets around to it.
That's awesome. This is a heck of a list, you guys. There are six games. Look at this.
Heavy hitters here.
Sonic Mania, Arkham Asylum, Jotun and Hugh, Animal Well, and Tactical Breach Wizards. What a list.
I want to say, Andy, the other option for you was Hades.
Oh, okay. Yeah, both tactics situations. Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah, so, but anyway, no.
Also Hades funnier since you're playing Jeanne d'Arc.
Yes, exactly. Hades not really grid-based, but anywho.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Well, we've got our assignments. We'll rendezvous back here. I'm sure we won't get through six game discussions next week. But
probably not.
We will hopefully have a little bit of an update on the ones where we chose. And in the meantime, people can weigh in on Jeanne d'Arc or these games. Where?
They can send that to podcast@wewaregamers.com.
Tell us how many ballots Pete Rose will go.
Just one.
Or zero. Like, you can interpret that either way you want. Time?
I really am vying for the one nomination and off the ballot plan.
It would be very funny.
I really, honestly, for the memes is the only reason. YouTube.com/@WeWereGamers.